Let us begin. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the readings that I was looking at is, this is from Job. It says, "Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should nurse? For I would have lain down and been quiet, I would have slept, then I would have been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or who was I, not as a hidden stillborn child, as infants who never see the light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners are at ease together. They hear not the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul, who long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes." That's from Job. And it's funny that Jeremiah, in the Old Testament reading, saying that pretty much something very similar. "I'm a laughingstock all day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I crowd. I shout violence and destruction," talking to Israel. "And for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long." He goes on to say, "Even if I was trying to hold it in, I cannot, because it's in my heart as it was a burning fire shut up in my bones. He needs to get it out." That was Jeremiah. The one I read was from Job. Jeremiah was ridiculed as being a prophet. No one wanted to listen to him. Job, he also, everybody was like, "What did you do? You must have done something wrong." The question is, have you ever felt that way? Have you just asked the Lord, "Why me?" Maybe it's even, sometimes, I know I've said it too, "Lord, take me now. I'd rather be with you than be here another day." And so the storms of this world and the storms of this life do sometimes seem overwhelming. And what does Jesus say in the gospel where he's talking to the disciples on the boat? He says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And why did the disciples lack? What did the disciples lack? They lacked faith. And what is it that you lack when you feel overwhelmed by the problems of this world? Faith. And what is it that you lack when you, just like the disciples, you are frightened of the situation you are in? Maybe right now. You might be worried for your future, for your health, for your finances. Maybe it's your children, the state of the state, or maybe it's this country, or even this world. Job lost everything. Jeremiah felt like he had nothing, like he'd been abandoned, not by God, but was just being ridiculed. Job's life is an example of the suffering you are going to go through. Same with Jeremiah. Lazarus, from the rich man in Lazarus, was covered in sores, who died in poverty in front of the rich man's house. And Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So you will bear a cross and you will face storms. Jesus also said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So tribulation is something that you will face because you, as a Christian, are no longer a citizen of the fallen world, but of heaven. The world, your old Adam, and Satan, who is prowling like a lion, wants to do whatever it can to have you take your eyes off of the Lord. That unholy trinity, they rejoice in your despair, they love your discomfort, they welcome your pain so that you may look to satisfy yourself in things not of God, so that you would separate yourself from Him. They make the temporary the be-all and end-all. They make death frightening. They make your wants king. And what does Christ say? Lose your life. Submit to God knowing that you will fail like the disciples in the storm, that you will fear what happens. But Christ is the stronger man. He, like he said, has overcome the world. And he is the one that can sleep during the storm. And what should you be like in the storm? Look at what Job does. This is something else Job says. Truly I know that it is so, but how can a man be in the right before God? If one wished to contend with him, one could not answer him once in 1,000 times. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and succeeded? He who removes mountains and they know it not, when he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble, who commands the sun and it does not rise, who seals up the stars, who alone stretches out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea, who made the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, who does great things beyond searching out and marvelous things beyond number. Behold, he passes by me, and I see him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive him. Behold, he snatches away. Who can turn him back? Who will say to him, what are you doing? God will not turn back his anger. Beneath him bowed the helpers of Rahab. How then can I answer him, choosing my words with him? Though I am in the right, I cannot answer him. I must appeal for mercy to my accuser. If I summoned him and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to me, my voice. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not let me get my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a contest of strength, behold, he is mighty. If it is a matter of justice, who can summon him? Though I am in the right, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I am blameless, he would prove me perverse. I am blameless. I regard not myself. I loathe my life. It is all one. Therefore I say, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. When disaster brings sudden death, he mocks at the calamity of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who then is it? My days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They go by like skiffs of reed, like an eagle swooping on the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put my sad face and be of good cheer. I have become afraid of all my suffering, for I know you will not hold me innocent. I shall be condemned. Why then do I labor in vain if I wash myself with snow and cleanse my hands with lye? Yet you will plunge me into a pit, and my clothes will abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I might answer him, that we should come to a trial together. There is no arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak without fear of him, for I am not so in myself. That was long. But Job still trusts in God, knowing that he is the one that's in control of everything. And he cannot speak ill of God, nor can he call himself righteous. Job knows where he stands, and that God is righteous, and that he's not. Job knows what he deserves, and does not give any ill to God. Job understands who has the power and control of all things. And he has put complete trust in God, and whatever happens to him, that's even though he suffered all that, his trust was in the Lord. Or there's David. Remember this. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Here, David also shows complete confidence in the Lord. He understood that it was the Lord that has delivered him from all of his trials before, and has the confidence that God will continue to watch over him in any trials ahead of him. He has confidence that even facing someone like Goliath, something that to our eyes seems impossible, is feasible with the Creator of the universe. your father. Both of these men had faith in spite of outrageous odds and conditions. In the face of the wildest storms, they both trusted in God, who is stronger than storms, that has the ability to quiet storms and stop them all together. Did they have more faith than you? By no means. It was God's faithfulness that gave these men. It's God's faithfulness that gives you faith. Where did they run to when they were scared? They ran to Christ. Who did Job look to? But God. Who did David rest in? The Father. You too, when you're facing crises, and you will time and time again, trust in Christ. He has already overcome the world. Now, Jesus faced the worst of all, right? He suffered the most. He took the full wrath of God. He did that for Job. He did it for David. He did it for the disciples. And he does it for you. He's done it for the whole world. He paid the price for your distrust, for your lack of faith, for your sin. He trusted in the Father, heart, soul, and mind, 100%. He had complete faith in the Father. And this is why he could sleep in the boat in the midst of the storm. He had complete faith in the Father. He had confidence in the fact that his time had not yet come. He is at peace and at rest because he is God. No little storm or big storm is too much for him to handle. He faced the cross and overcame sin, death, and the devil. He was and is still victorious. The storms in your life may never go away on this side of heaven, but they will end. The calamities and crosses you will have will stop in your death. Christ has defeated death. So even if your sufferings lead up unto your death and you face storms all the way to your grave, they will end. Through Christ, death does not end everything for you, but you have been given eternal life. Christ has stopped all storms and given you eternity with him where no suffering and sorrow are known. This fleeting life, like the morning mist or the breath of a hand, seems outrageously long to us. But in the view of eternity, it's just a hiccup. Not only do you face the storms of this world, but you also face the storms of sin. And going through these crises, going through these storms, dealing with your sin, it doesn't feel short. But let this gospel, and let the story of Christ in the boat remind you who is with you. Christ is with you. The one who takes on your burdens. The one who carries your sins. The one who died on the cross so that you may live. The one who was moved by the sorrow of Mary and Martha. He is the one who knows you. The one who loves you. The one who lets you know that even in the worst of times, you are his child, and he will never separate himself from you. So let Christ's word give you confidence that whatever you face, whenever you don't think you can handle it, when anything becomes too daunting, when you feel overwhelmed, that he is there with you, that you can cry to the Lord, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And he will give you the words, "Peace, be still." Christ the victor has won. He has made you more than conquerors. He can give you the peace that this world does not understand. The peace that David had when facing Goliath. The peace Job had in facing his calamities. This peace is given to you. You have been given his spirit. He, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, has given you the peace that no matter what befalls you in this life, that he has bought you with something more precious than silver or gold, but with his very blood. He has robed you with his righteousness, and he has given you his name. He gives faith to the faithless. He gives trust to you who constantly doubt. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases in strength. He is the one that the wind and the sea obey, and he has made you new creations. He has made you children who can stand strong in the storm, not because of your strength, but because of the strength he gives to you. Today, he strengthens you not only with his word, but his very body and blood. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So in our gospel today, it says, brother will deliver brother over death, and the father's child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. This is what we face as Christians. But we have peace, just like Stephen did when he got stoned. That we have someone that already went ahead of us, who died for us, who paid for all of your sin, so that, again, you can have that peace, knowing that you are forgiven. That it is He, the One, who is the creator of this world, the creator of this universe, who conquers sin, death, and devil, and the devil. All of this He did for you. And what can we say? What can we proclaim because of that? Is blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving refuge of His anointed. Amen.